Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are moving now into chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, the next to the last chapter in the book, and a good title for this chapter would be Joyful Living, How to Enjoy Life in a Fallen World. Now, this may be a bit surprising. Here we are in the book of Ecclesiastes. We're getting close to the end, and we come to a chapter that has to do with joy, and that doesn't sound very much like vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Futility, futility, life is futile, which is a prominent part of the book earlier on, as you know, and is the only impression that many people have of the entire book. But here we come to something very different. Now, you recall that Solomon's purpose for writing this book, directed, of course, by the Holy Spirit of God, was to determine what elements produce fulfillment in life. He first set out to do an investigation, and then he wrote about his conclusions. And in his investigation, he found that the elements that most people think will bring happiness, fulfillment, joy in life are not the ones that do. In fact, his conclusion is that the most important element to bring joyful fulfillment in life is godly wisdom. To possess and apply godly wisdom to everyday life. And wisdom is God's truth applied to everyday living. And when you do that, you will have a fulfilling, joyful life. And when you fail to do that, you are going to have all kinds of problems and consequences of your failure. And we saw a lot of those in the previous chapter, chapter 10, which was all about folly. But today we return back to wisdom, the flip side of folly, as we come to chapter 11. And we're going to learn, first of all, about wisdom with money. Secondly, wisdom at work. And third, wisdom in joyful living. It's a short chapter. But this is going to tell us how to enjoy life in a fallen world. And we are in a fallen world. And that means that life is never going to be perfect in this world. Never, ever, ever going to be perfect in this world. You understand that, don't you? A lot of people's frustrations is that they are demanding perfection in a world that can never achieve perfection. So if that's your expectation, if that's your demand, you'll never be happy until things are perfect, until there is no injustice, no oppression, no wrongs, no sins, no discrimination, no whatever. If that's what it takes for you to be happy in life, then good luck. It'll never happen. You'll never be happy in this life, but it is possible to be happy, to be joyful in this fallen world if you will follow Solomon's advice. And following his advice, which is God's advice, will enable you to find the greatest happiness that is possible in a fallen world. It'll never be perfect happiness, perfect joy. It'll never be unspoiled in any way. It will never be a life in which there is not a single fly to despoil the ointment. but it is possible to have a joyful, happy life in this fallen world if you listen to the Word of God, if you listen to King Solomon, directed by the Spirit of God, if you listen to this radio preacher as I try to explain to you what is found in this chapter. And so thank you for joining me on this Thursday, January 28. And many thanks for those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to pursue this ministry on this station. All right, first of all, wisdom with money. Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. What is that all about? Wisdom with money. Now, that has been considered earlier, but here we're looking at it again, and it's now revisited in a new light. And like so many of the other statements, especially in chapter 10, but even previous to that, this sounds a great deal like a proverb, but the meaning seems to have been somewhat lost in obscurity. This phrase, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. That sounds like a proverb. It sounds like wisdom, but what on earth does it mean? Well, let me give you what some people think it's talking about. They think it's talking about wisdom in investments. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. In other words, be willing to invest your money. Be willing to cast your bread upon the waters. A possible reference even to Solomon's maritime activities. If you read carefully about the life of Solomon, you will find out that he had a port and had ships, and he sent them out all over the world to trade and to come back with goods. And so he was casting his bread upon the waters in a pretty literal sense. But in a more general sense, it's sort of a figure for be willing to invest, because when you do, your investment will return to you, and of course with an increase. Cast your bread upon the waters, for it will find you after many days. Now, that's what some people think this is talking about. And then moving on to verse 2, they think that it's following up that first advice to be willing to invest with this advice: diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. The idea is, don't put all your eggs in one basket, because you don't know potential future calamities. So, spread it around, not all in one place. As we hear on the radio from time to time, when investment firms are trying to get our business, I have heard this phrase many times, buy quality and diversify. Have you heard that? Well, there's a lot of wisdom to that, not only in making investments of your money, but, for example, in the area of your employment. It's really wise to learn more than one trade, because if you only know how to do one thing, and then for whatever reason that gets taken from you, you're going to be in trouble. A lot of preachers have found that out. They've only had one goal in life, one desire in life. They've trained for one thing in life, and then for whatever reason, that door closes to them, and they don't have the education or skills to make a decent living for their family. You find a lot of former preachers selling or trying to sell insurance or sell this or sell that. I remember a former pastor years ago who knocked on my door repeatedly trying to get me to invest in something. I can't remember what. And I had a hard time explaining to him and making him understand I would love to invest, though I don't know that I would necessarily invest in your product. But at that particular time in my life, I really had nothing to invest. I was already investing a teeny little bit in, I won't tell you in what, but in something that was considered a very safe investment, and that was frankly all I could do. But what was instructive to me was, here was someone who had had trained for ministry and was highly educated. He had a Master of Divinity degree, which is a degree that takes you 3 years beyond college. He had the equivalent of 7 years of post-high school training. He had 7 years of college and graduate school. And he was, for whatever reason, was no longer pastoring. He had done that. And now he's out beating the door trying to sell something because he's not really trained for anything else. The Jewish rabbis all learned another trade. What was Paul was trained as a rabbi. What was his other trade? Making tents. He was a skilled tent maker, and that was a trade that would always be able to find an opening when needed, because in that world, the tents were a big part of the world. There was always, always, always a market and a need for tents. There were Bedouins, there were all kinds of people who used tents, and they never ran out of a need for tent makers. And so he had learned a skill to be able to support himself, and at times he needed to do that. And even though he was highly trained as a rabbi, one of the most highly trained rabbis of his day, he certainly had the equivalent of a PhD or beyond. If we were doing it in today's educational levels, he had been taught by the great Gamaliel. The phrase he uses was "sat at the feet of Gamaliel." That's an idiom to say that he had been trained by one, I think, if my memory serves me correct, one of the rabbis that was considered to be one of the six leading rabbis of all history, of all times. And that one had trained Saul. So he was highly educated, highly skilled as a rabbi, but he also learned how to work with his hands and make tents. He learned to diversify his employment opportunities. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight. Spread it around, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. You don't know when a calamity is going to befall you. And so in jobs, learn more than one trade. When it comes to income, develop several streams of income, if possible, particularly if we're talking about retirement. And that's what some people think this verse is talking about, and there's a lot of common sense in that, but I don't think that is correct, because this statement, "for you will find it after many days," sounds like if you will cast your bread upon the waters there, it will be a guarantee of success, and I don't think that is what the Bible teaches, is it? It teaches that God, if God blesses it, you will have success, but there's no guarantee. You may invest and lose it all. But if you do invest, some people stay away from any kind of investing. They're only willing to put money in a secure savings account, but they're not willing to invest in stocks or bonds or anything like that, and that's okay. I understand that. Many people have lost a lot of money that way. But if you do it, then follow this advice and diversify, because if you put all your eggs in one basket and that one basket gets ruined, you are in deep trouble. So that's what some people think this means, wisdom with money. But we'll have to talk about other possibilities when we return to it tomorrow, and I will invite you to join me then. Until then, this is Greg Markman, Bible Teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.